Chapter 26. Things that you learn as you come inside the tabernacle is the beauty of everything. You know, everything out in the courtyard, the altar and the laver were made of brass, but everything inside the tabernacle was made of gold. And the walls, you could see gold and silver as the foundation. You could see the altar of incense, the candlestick, and the table of showbread all made of gold. It would have been very, very beautiful. It would have been very beautiful to be in there and to see everything. But the only problem with that is, when the building was erected, the whole thing was covered. The whole tabernacle was covered. And as we'll see today, the true beauty of the tabernacle wasn't visible to the naked eye. You had to be inside the tabernacle to really see it. And that's what topic that we want to begin looking at this morning is the coverings of the tabernacle. And turn to Exodus chapter 26 and read verse 14. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins. Now the Bible gives us four layers of coverings that we would like to discuss. It's really unique how the Bible lays it out. In verses 1 through 13, it takes the Bible 13 verses to describe two of the coverings. And then in verse 14, it tells you about the other two. So 13 verses to describe two, and then one verse to describe two. So what we'll do today is we'll attempt to go from the outside inward. Okay, we'll look at what you would have seen, and then we'll progressively move inward toward the tabernacle as we look at these things. Now the very outer covering of the tabernacle, the Bible says in Exodus 26:14, was a covering of badger skins. There's no description really given here in the book of Exodus of a badger or of a badger skin. From everything that I've read and studied, and there's even a lot of disagreement on what the badger was. Okay, what kind of animal the badger was? Was it a badger that we would consider a badger today? What kind of animal it was? I'm not sure. But the Bible is a little more specific about these badger skins in another place. Turn to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. The outer covering of the tabernacle was a covering of badger skins. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. And verse 8. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. In these verses here, God is describing the clothing that He gave to Israel after their redemption. And when it came to what they needed as footwear, you think about that. They needed something as footwear. The Lord gave them something that was very durable. Gave them something that was very up to the test of the elements. And He gave them these badger skins to use as their footwear. Something, you know, the desert heat can be pretty rough. And the footwear that they needed would have needed to be durable as they would have walked. And I mean, they walked for 40 years in these things. And the Lord gave them badger skins. I think that's really neat just to see that and to see that the badger skins was a covering that was given to the tabernacle. You know, for you think about it, badger skins had to be very durable. You know, you think about the tabernacle. And when they camped, they set up the tabernacle. What happens if one day the heat was just so blistering? I mean, it was up in the hundreds, you know, 100 degrees plus. They still set up the tabernacle, didn't they? They still set it up. What if it rained? I know they don't get much rain in the desert, but in their travels, if it rained, what'd they do? Still set up the tabernacle. You know, if they faced a sandstorm or they faced those other things that happened out in the desert, they still had to set up the tabernacle. You see, the outer covering of this tabernacle, it must have been very durable to withstand the elements of desert life, to withstand the elements that they would have faced in their journey to the Promised Land. You would think that a skin that was good enough to use as footwear would seemingly be good enough for that purpose. So badger skins would have become a very good protectant for the tabernacle, as well as a protectant to the other layers. It was a rough, it was a rugged skin. It wasn't at all smooth and like that pure gold. It wasn't nearly as beautiful. Next to a beautiful gold, a badger skin kind of seems worthless. Doesn't seem like it's of much value at all. There's definitely a difference between what was inside and what was outside. So it's kind of hard to understand. You know, you think everything in the tabernacle is beautiful. I mean, you've got gold. You've got the Ark of the Covenant, one of the most beautiful pieces of furniture that's ever been constructed. You've got this foundation of silver. You've got this altar of incense. And man, everything in there is beautiful. And then the Lord uses some ugly old badger skin to cover it up. It's just something that's not very valuable. Something that Israel used as footwear to cover the tabernacle. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Why use something so rough and rugged to cover something so beautiful and precious? Philippians chapter 2. Verse 7. It speaks of Jesus Christ when He came to this earth. Philippians 2 and verse 7. It says, "But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." You know, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, He made Himself of no reputation. The amazing thing is, if you read this passage, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God." You know, Jesus Christ was God. He is God, was God, always will be God. He is the holy and righteous Son of the living God. But He made Himself of no reputation, and He came and lived in one of these bodies. He lived in an earthly flesh. I believe in a sense that these coverings of badger skins truly show Jesus Christ. And they show Christ not as He appears to those inside the tabernacle, but how He appears to those that are outside the tabernacle. Just a man of no reputation. Let me give you a few verses to support that. Look in the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. You think about it, folks. Born in a manger. And He grew up in the rinky-dink town of Nazareth. Spent His days at a carpenter's bench. I mean, this not a very impressive looking life, you would think, for the Son of God. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "And He went out from thence and came into His own country, and His disciples follow Him. And when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing Him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by His hands?" I want you to see Mark 6 and verse 3. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and of Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at Him. You know, you think about Jesus Christ, and it talks here about all the wonderful works that He did. You know what they looked at? You know what they said when they looked at Jesus Christ? "This can't be right. This is the carpenter. This is the same guy I saw down at Joseph's carpenter shop the other day, you know, building things and building a shed. This is just a carpenter." I mean, it's ironic what He's doing here. There's something interesting, but this is Mary's boy, you know, and this is Joseph's brother. I mean, this guy's not any different than anyone else. He's a carpenter. He's got brothers and sisters. This man is no different. There's really nothing out of the ordinary about him, right? There's nothing special about Jesus Christ. That's how the world viewed Him. And that's how the world views Him today. You know, that's the difficult part that you'll find in witnessing to someone. They look at Jesus Christ differently than you do. You're inside the tabernacle, and you see the beauties of Jesus Christ, and He's precious to you. But to someone who's outside of the presence of God and fellowship with the Lord, when they look at Jesus Christ, you know what they see? What's so special about that building? I mean, it's covered with badger skins. I mean, they don't even have the royal colors draped across it, or they don't even have anything pretty. They got badger skins covering that building. That can't be anything special. And a lot of people look that way at Jesus Christ. And they look at our relationship to Jesus Christ in that way. Jesus Christ is nothing special. Many people look at Jesus as nothing more than a soft, fuzzy storybook man. You know, it's just some long hair flowing, teary-eyed guru that walked around saying good things, but he wasn't really any different than us. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah 53. The badger skins leave much to the imagination of what might have been under it. Because they're not very pretty. They're not. In fact, the badger skin, it was used as footwear, folks. That's what God used to put on their feet. Okay? I mean, we're talking about just something, you know, it's rough and it's durable and it's good for lasting as footwear, but, you know, it's not something that you would probably hang on a quilt rack at home. You know, it's not that pretty. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." These verses are a picture of the coming Messiah. And verse 2 says he's one who came with no form nor comeliness. Kind of like the tabernacle, isn't it? You look, from the desert view, what is that? It's just, you know, just badger skins. No, nothing beautiful, no form or no comeliness. And that's what Jesus Christ was. You know, when Jesus Christ came to this world, he took upon him the form of a servant. He took upon him the form of flesh. I don't believe that there were really any physical characteristics about Jesus Christ that were outstanding. I don't believe that he was, you know, 10 feet tall. And I don't believe that he had the big bulging muscles. You know, I don't believe there's anything that just drew physical attention to Jesus Christ. And when they looked at him, what did they say? Wait a minute. Okay, I see what he's doing, but this is the carpenter. This is Mary's boy. There's nothing special about this guy. There was no form or comeliness that they would desire him, that they would see him and think anything special of him. You know, the outer covering is interesting. The outer covering of the tabernacle had to withstand the elements. You know, the badger skin had to go through some rough times, and I'm just talking about natural things. If there was a storm, it had to hold up. Anything that just naturally happened, the badger skins went through it. And you know, Jesus Christ did too. You know, as we looked the other day at the dual nature of the boards with the wood and the gold, and we talked about the human nature of Jesus Christ and how he got thirsty, and he got tired, and he got weary, and longed for a place that he would lay his head. He didn't even have a pillow to lay down on when he was tired. He'd get hungry. You know, Jesus knew what it was like to have hard times. I'm talking about physical things, but you know, Jesus Christ, he knows what it's like to live in this in a body. You know, Jesus Christ knows what it's like to have a friend stab him in the back. Jesus Christ knows what it's like to have friends turn and run from him in his hour of need. He knows. He knows what it's like to live in one of these bodies. See, these skins are a perfect picture of Jesus Christ. He had to endure all the naturals of life as well. The only thing that we would consider ordinary about Jesus Christ is the sinful nature that he didn't have. But as far as the flesh and living in one of these bodies, he did. He had one of these bodies. And I want to show you something. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. You say, why would Jesus Christ do that? I mean, he's the righteous and holy Son of God. I mean, this is the guy who's been bowed and worshipped by the angels, you know, who's heard praises and glorious calls of holy, holy, and holy, and just the angels bowing before him and worship him. And he comes and he takes upon him a man's body, and he covers himself with a badger skin. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You know why Jesus Christ took upon him the form of a man? Because now he can really be a faithful and merciful high priest. You know, when you come to Jesus Christ, you come to Him in prayer and you're pouring your heart out to the Lord, He's a faithful and merciful high priest. You know what? He has lived in one of these bodies. He knows what you're going through. You know, when someone counsels you, when you've really got a problem, you know what helps the most? It helps the most when the person who's talking to you and counseling you, when they've been there, right? It helps to talk to someone who's been in those situations before, who's seen the examples and who's lived through it and has a testimony to give you about it. And you have a faithful high priest in Jesus Christ who knows what it's like to live in the flesh and to suffer the things that you're suffering, to suffer abandon and betrayal and the weaknesses and all those things, the sicknesses. And those kind of things. You know, Jesus Christ, I don't know all the things that He suffered and all those things, but I know that some of the things He got tired, He got hungry, and He knows what it's like. He's a faithful high priest. The Bible says in Hebrews, and I believe it's chapter 5, it talks about the high priest who's ordained and taken from among men. So they would have someone who knows what it's like. You know, you don't angel for your high priest who doesn't know what it's like to be a man, who doesn't know what it's like to live in one of these bodies. You have a faithful high priest in Jesus Christ who's lived in one of these bodies, who knows what it's like to be a man. We have a faithful high priest. You know, there's nothing that you can't go and tell Jesus Christ that He doesn't understand. He doesn't know. He's been here. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like. What a faithful high priest we have. Yet when the world sees Him, you know what they see? Just a man. Yeah, Jesus, He's a historical figure. He lived, died. You know? They're just a man. When the world sees Jesus Christ, you know what they see? They saw what the world saw when they saw the tabernacle. They didn't see the beauty of it. They didn't see the gold and the silver, and they didn't see all the beautiful things that were inside. They saw badger skins. They saw badger skins. They saw nothing different than what Israel used as footwear. They didn't see anything different about Him. But 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter 2 and verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, He's precious. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. You know, if you were inside the tabernacle, You didn't see the badger skins. You know what? You saw the beauties and the glories. And a relationship with Jesus Christ, you just begin to see so many wonderful things about Him. And He becomes precious to you. And you don't look at Him the way that the world does. He's precious to us. The world sees Him and they see nothing. But when we look at Jesus Christ, you know what He is? He's precious. We see the beautiful things because we're inside. That's the difference between being inside the tabernacle and outside. Exodus chapter 26. Turn this over here while you're turning there. Exodus chapter 26 and verse 14. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red. Now, under that covering of badger skins that no one would have been able to see was a series of ram skins dyed red. I want you to look here at a passage back in Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, this is really in the early parts of the Bible we're first introduced to this animal, the ram. And in Genesis 22, verse 9, it says, "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon an altar, on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand unto the lad, or upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." You know, we're first introduced to the ram here, and you know the story of how Abraham was ready to slay his son Isaac, and God had prepared a ram to take the place of Isaac. You know what? You know, the ram in the Bible is pictured as the animal of substitute. And that's very important for us to see and know about Jesus Christ. One of the great doctrines that we believe, and it's essential to our belief system, is that the death of Jesus Christ is a substitutionary death. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He did more than just think about me. Now, He did. I believe I was on the mind and heart of Jesus Christ while He was on the cross, while He was in the garden. I believe that I think He was thinking about me. But more than just the idea that He was thinking about me, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, He became my substitute. He took my place, just as that ram had been there, and God provided a ram for a substitute for Isaac, as a substitute to take his place. You see here in this passage, it says in verse 13, that behold, behind him a ram caught by a thicket in the horns, and Abraham went up and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering, look here, in the stead of his son. In the stead of his son. You know what's interesting in this passage? Genesis 22, verse 8. Abraham said, you know, Isaac looked at him and said, "Dad, where's the offering? You know, where's the animal?" And here's what he says. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." There's a dual nature to that when Abraham said that. God will provide Himself a lamb, okay? Don't worry, Isaac. God will provide. God will provide the animal. But it also says, God will provide Himself a lamb. And that's what Jesus Christ did. God, He provided Himself as the substitute. He provided His own blood, His own shed blood, as the substitute for our sins. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 2 again, the animal there, the ram, became a substitute for Isaac. And that's what Jesus Christ was to us. He became our substitute. Just as we saw when we looked at the Day of Atonement and how the sinful Israelite would come to the door of the tabernacle and he would place his hands on the head of that animal. And it was like that animal now has become his substitute. It's going to go in his place. In this book here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, This is the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ right here. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body. Now that you can't get any more of a picture of a substitute. Our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, He became my substitute, and He died in my place. And the wrath of God that I deserved and that would have been executed on me, He took every bit of it. Every bit of God's wrath. God is just, He hates sin. And in my sins, I deserved and I earned the wrath of an eternal righteous God. And Jesus Christ took my place. He became my substitute. He became Isaac's ram. He became my ram. God will provide Himself. He provided Himself there. And the next covering under the badger skins were those ram skins dyed red. Of course, you know what red is. Red is universally known and seen in the Bible as the color of blood. And those ram skins dyed red. You know what you see? You know what protects everyone inside the tabernacle? The substitution of Jesus Christ. He's our substitute. Now, those that are outside the tabernacle, they don't see that. They don't know about that. They don't understand that. But those that are inside the tabernacle, you know what? They're protected by the substitutionary ram, by the animal of substitute, by a ram whose blood was shed and his skins were given to cover the tabernacle. And we who are in Jesus Christ, you know what we're protected by? His shed blood for our sins. He died on the cross for our sins, and He did it in our place. Listen, this is more than just a nice, end to the gospel message. This is more than just a nice end to the Jesus Christ story. He's in our place. He's taken what we deserved, what we had earned, and He died on the cross for us. I love what it says there about that ram and about Isaac in His stead. And Jesus Christ, He took our sins in His body, our sins upon Him, so that we could have His righteousness. He gave us His righteousness, and He took our sin. That don't really sound like a very fair deal for Jesus Christ, did it? He took our sin and gave us His righteousness. But He took our place and was our substitute. He did it willingly because He's just so merciful and gracious and a loving God. He took our place. What an amazing thing to know that Jesus Christ, when He was on the cross, He was in my place. I had a cross that I deserved, and He took it. And He died on the cross for my sins, and He became my substitute, my place. Turn back to the book of Exodus again. We're protected by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And listen, the death of Christ is a substitutionary death, just as the ram was the animal of substitute, and it died in Isaac's stead. Exodus 26. Now there's a little more description that's given about the next covering. Verse number 7. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall all be of one measure. Thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tashes of brass and put the tashes into the loops and couple the tent together that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle, and a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth, and the length of the curtains of the tent, it shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. Now the next covering that was inside was a covering of goats, okay, a covering of goat's skin or goat's hair that it mentions there in verse number 7. What it was is it was 11. It was a series of 11 different goat's hair coverings. Okay, they attached 6 together, and then they attached 5 together, and then they attached the 6 and the 5 together with those loops and with those tashes there of brass. So that's how it was used. That's how they were connected together. The goat's hair covering would have been very interesting as it came together, but for our sake of time, we really want to picture what it means and show you what this goat's hair covering really symbolizes and what it stands for. You know, the goat was preeminently the animal that was used in sacrifice. It was the animal that was used the most in most of the sin offerings. In fact, if you study the nation of Israel and you study their feasts and their sacrifices that go along with those feasts, time and time again you'll see the mention of the goat. Now, if you want to write these verses down, I'm going to mention them. We won't read all of them, but I'm going to mention them. In Numbers 28, verse 22, Israel began the year with the commemoration of the Passover. This was observed through the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and directly connected to this feast was the sacrifice of a goat for a sin offering. Numbers 28, verse 22. In Leviticus 23, verse 19, and the next feast was the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost. And during that feast, when it came time to do a sin offering, there was a goat that was used. Now, were other animals sacrificed? Yes, they were. But as far as the sin offering, Leviticus 23:19 directly specifies a goat for the sin offering. The same thing would happen in Leviticus 16 on the Day of Atonement. Two goats were used on that day. One goat was used for the scapegoat, and one goat was used for the sin offering, for the sacrifice, for blood to be shed. You see, the goat was preeminently the animal that was used in sacrifice. Leviticus 4, verse 23, when a ruler sinned, he brought an offering of the goats. When a common person sinned, Leviticus 4, 27 and 28, they were to bring a kid of the goats. In Leviticus 9, at the consecration of the priesthood, a kid of the goats was used for the sin offering. In number 7, at the dedication of each altar, at the dedication of the altar, each of the princes offered a kid of the goats. Number 7. Numbers 15, a sin of ignorance was made atonement with the kid of the goats. And at the beginning of each month, in Numbers 28, there was a special sin offering appointed, a kid of the goats. So you see, that's at least 7 or 8 different references to the sin offering being a goat. A goat was used for the sin offering. But what's interesting about a goat in the Bible is most of the time when it's mentioned in connection with the sin offering. But a lot of other times when a goat is used in the Bible or mentioned in the Bible, and it's not in connection with a sin offering, a goat almost always has an evil connotation to it. It's almost always spoken of in a negative way. Let me give you a couple of examples. When Rebecca deceived her husband, what did she place on Jacob's arms, his hands, and his neck to deceive Isaac? Genesis 27, she used the skins of the kid of the goats. When Joseph was thrown into the ditch and was going to be sold into slavery and sold to the Ishmaelites, remember what his brothers dipped in blood, or what they killed? They killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in his blood. Genesis 37. In 1 Samuel 19, when Michal deceived Saul, what did she use? A pillow of goat's hair. And in the ultimate contrast in the Bible of the saved and the lost, what are the sheep? The saved. And what are the lost? The goats. So it's kind of interesting. Most of the time in the Bible, when you see a goat mentioned, it's either mentioned as a sin offering or it is used in a negative or sinful connotation. Okay? A sin offering or a sinful way. A sinful way. Now I want you to see this. Turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think it's clear to see that the goat's hair curtains pointed to Jesus Christ as the great sin offering for His people. The sin offering for the sins of His people. It says here in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." See, it's He who knew no sin was made sin for us. You know, He is our sin offering. You know, but a lot of times when a goat is used, it's always mentioned in a sinful way. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, He was made our sin. You know, when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross for our sins, and God the Father from heaven looked down upon Jesus Christ, do you know what He saw? Some might wonder, how in the world could the Holy Father from heaven look down at His suffering Son and allow it to happen and allow it to go on? Because when God the Father looked down at His Son, Jesus Christ, you know what He saw? He saw me. He saw my sin. And the Bible says that the sin upon Jesus Christ was so great that the sin offering that he was making, the Bible says that God the Father turned his own back on his son. And he couldn't behold his son and wouldn't behold his son. He had my sin on him. He had my sins on him. And I really, listen, if you're here today and you're lost, you need to take a walk to the cross of Calvary and see what God thinks of your sin. Because when God saw my sin on Jesus Christ, he turned his back on him. And he abandoned Jesus Christ on the cross and the great sin offering there for those 3 hours while the sun was darkened out of the sky. I can't even picture or imagine. If you're here today and you are lost in your sins and you don't have Jesus Christ as your sin offering, realize what happened on the cross is what happens to a lost sinner for an eternity in hell. God turns his back. You know, there's no mercy in hell. And there's no help. And there's no hope. And there's no water. And there's no refreshment. There's nothing. The sin is so great, the Bible says that God's eyes in the Old Testament and the prophets, he says that his eyes are more pure than even to behold evil. God hates sin. And he doesn't even like to look upon sin. But my sin was so great upon Jesus Christ that even God the Father, he turned his back on his own son and he became a sin offering and he became my sin. That I might be made his righteousness. The righteousness of God in him. You know, it was said in the Bible, in Isaiah 53, verse 10, thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. I want you to see what it says here in a couple of places. Isaiah 53 and Leviticus 4. Isaiah 53 and Leviticus 4. Isaiah 53 talks about here the suffering Savior and Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for our sins. Isaiah 53 verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And turn to Leviticus 4. I just want you to see this reference here, this comparison. Leviticus 4 and verse 25. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering. Remember, that's what these goat hair coverings show, the sin offering of Jesus Christ. The blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. You know, it talks about there in Leviticus 4 the blood of the sin offering being poured out. It's unique. It doesn't mention that about a lot of the other offerings. But the sin offering, it mentions his blood being poured out. And Isaiah 53:12 talks about Jesus Christ, and he hath poured out his soul unto death. Just as that sin offering, Jesus Christ became my sin offering. And he became my sin, and he died on the cross for my sins. Now, in the dyed ram skins that were dyed red, we see it was a substitutionary death. And in the goat's hair, we see that it was the ultimate sin offering. You know, he died in my place, but it was because of my sins. And he became a sacrifice and a sin offering for my sins. He became my sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, that's something else the world doesn't see when they look at the tabernacle. But those that are inside are protected by it. The sin offering of Jesus Christ. If you are inside the tabernacle, you have a covering. You have a protecting covering of the sin offering of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that he made and became our sin and died on the cross for our sins. One more covering. Turn to the book of Exodus chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26. The innermost covering for the tabernacle were a series of curtains. You can read them here in Exodus chapter 26, verse 1 through 6. There were 10 of these curtains. They were blue, they were scarlet, they were purple. It also mentions fine twine linen, which my interpretation would also include white. Those kind of coverings, white, blue, purple, scarlet. 10 of these, each one was 28 cubits by 4 cubits. 5 were coupled together, another 5 were coupled together, and then each 5 were sewn together there the same way in many respects that the goat's hair coverings were. The design is much different than the black goat's hair, the ugly badger skins. Colors are so much different. Inside the tabernacle, if you were to look up, the covering that you would see was beautiful. You would be inside the tabernacle and you'd be able to see the gold and the silver, and you'd be able to see all the precious furniture and the precious instruments that were used, and you would look up and the covering that you would see was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was all these colors. It was just such a nice looking covering inside. It was beautiful inside the tabernacle. What do each one of these things represent? You know, the book of Revelation chapter 19, we're running out of time, but I want to tell you what I believe each one of these colors to mean. In Revelation chapter 19, all of these things, you know, you look up inside the tabernacle, and you know what you see? You see beauties. And that's what happens when you are in Jesus Christ. You look to Jesus Christ, and you don't see the badger skins. You don't see the outer covering. You don't see you don't look at Jesus Christ and say, well, he's just a man. He's not very attractive. No, inside you see how attractive he is. You see how precious he is and how beautiful he is. And inside the tabernacle, you look at these colors and you see more of the character of Christ and more of what we have in him. Now, white, fine twine linen, I believe it's described here in Revelation 19. We looked at this a little bit. We won't take as much time here because when we looked at the white outer coverings of the entire tabernacle. But it says in Revelation 19, verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Fine linen is a picture in the Bible of righteousness. Just as we saw when we looked at David's prayer in Psalm 51, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Come and let us reason together in Isaiah chapter 1, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Holy and righteous God rules and judges from a great white throne. White is a picture of righteousness. And those that are inside the tabernacle, they look up and they see and can dwell amongst the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful picture that is. You know, one of the coverings was also, part of the covering was blue. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This one, I disagree with a lot of commentators, and you'll find this as you study the Bible. A lot of times, anybody sees the word blue, they always mention water, they mention baptism. Anytime anybody mentions water in the Bible, it means baptism. I don't think that's what it means, okay? I think that when you see the blue, okay, here's what I see. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. The first man, 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You know, when I see blue, you know what I think? I see the color of heaven. I see the heavens as I look up. And you know, if you were in the tabernacle, there's a picture there and an understanding that, you know, the Messiah that would come someday. You know, we're protected and we look up and we see the beauties of his character. He's righteous and he's holy and righteous. But you know what also he is? He's not like the first Adam and just of the earth. He's the Lord from heaven. You know, the Messiah that would come someday, he would be a man, but he wouldn't be like every other man. There was something different about him. There was something unique about him. He's the Lord from heaven. He's the eternal Son of God. You know, everybody that looks from the outside says, hey, he's just a man. But no, if you're inside the tabernacle, you see he's more than a man. He's the Lord from heaven. He's the Son of God. Yes, he is man, but he is God. He's both. You know, those that are on the outside, they don't see anything different than Jesus Christ. They don't see anything about him other than, well, he was a man. But inside, you see those blue coverings and you're reminded of the heavens as you would look up and see the blueness of heaven.
And that's who Jesus Christ was. You know what? He was a man. He was 100% man. He lived in a body. He had arms and he had legs. And he had a brain and he had a face. But he was the Lord from heaven. The first man is of the earth, but this man, second man, he's the Lord from heaven. You know, our salvation is not dependent upon what any other man has done for us. But the man that sacrificed himself for our sins is the eternal Lord of glory, who came and tabernacled and dwelt amongst men. But he was the Lord from heaven. Of course, you know, you see one of the coverings were also scarlet, and we've seen how the ram skins that were dyed red. Red is used mostly in the Bible as a picture and a symbol of blood. We look up and we just see part of that character of Jesus Christ, and we see the protection through His blood. The Bible says one of the coverings was of purple. You know what purple is? Purple is the color of royalty. In John chapter 19, when they wanted to mock and make fun of Jesus Christ and go get Him a king's robe, and it says they went and got Him a purple robe. It's the color of royalty. It's the color of majesty. You know, our Savior, as we begin to dwell in the tabernacle, see more of the beauties of His character. Jesus Christ, He was a man, but He was righteous. He's the Lord from heaven. He's the offering for sin. He's the shed blood for sin. But He's royalty and He's majesty. He's the King of glory. He's the King of eternity. He's the King of time. He's the King of forever. He's all of those things. You see, when you get inside the tabernacle, you see so much more than when you would see outside. Outside, you don't see anything. Badger skins. Nothing special about it. But inside, to those who believe, to you, He is precious. You're inside the tabernacle and you just look up in amazement as you see and understand His righteousness and His heavenly dominion and His royal majesty and His shed blood. You get to see all these things inside. Outside, you don't get to see Him. But the more you dwell in the tabernacle, the more you see. The more you learn. And the more beautiful it becomes. And that's what Jesus Christ is. You know, the more that a Christian gets alone with God and he gets in His Word, and he gets on his knees in prayer, and he's faithful to the Lord's house, and he's faithful to have fellowship with God's people, the more that you have that fellowship and communion that the tabernacle represents, the more beautiful Christ becomes. You know, there's none of us that love Jesus Christ as much as we could. And there's none of us that love Him as much as we should. But you know, the more that you dwell in the tabernacle, the more beautiful He becomes. If you'll spend more time with God, I bet He'll become more beautiful to you. If you spend more time focusing your thoughts and your heart on Jesus Christ, your Savior, the more beautiful and the more precious He'll become. And you're inside. You're not seeing what everybody else sees. And you're talking about Jesus Christ to your neighbor, and they're looking at you like you got two heads. They just don't understand why He's so beautiful to you. But to you, He's precious. To you, He's beautiful because you're inside and you see all of His glory and His majesty. You see it all. You know, we have something that the world doesn't have. And we have something the world doesn't even understand. Because when they look, what do they see? They would have seen the badger skins. But when Aaron went into that tabernacle, the sweet smells from that altar of incense were being perfumed through the air. And he could look around and see the silver and the gold and these precious colors. Well, there was something about being inside that tabernacle that was beautiful and glorious. And everybody else, when they looked, they didn't see anything. Maybe it's the same way with you today. It is the same way with all of us. You're either inside or you're outside. Either Jesus Christ has become precious to you and He's become honorable to you and your majesty and your Lord and Savior, or you're still outside wondering what in the world goes on in there. What in the world goes on in that building? Can't be much. They cover it with badger skins. Man, there's something special going on in there. There's something special going on in the heart and the mind and the soul of a believer who's in touch with Jesus Christ and dwelling in fellowship and communion with God. Unto you who believe, He's precious. It's beautiful inside the tabernacle. Amen. Brother Wayne, you come.